into an episode of Light the Lamp here on Duckstream. We have a busy week ahead of us with the trade deadline coming up later on, but excited to welcome on today's guest, the co-host of What Chaos, a national hockey show, Pete Blackburn. Pete, it's been a while since you've been on Duckstream, but glad to have you back. How are things going?
Going good. Thanks for having me back. I think the last time that I was on here was last season, and things are better now for the Ducks, huh? So I'm excited to be back.
Appreciate you sporting some Ducks gear in the back as well. And we were talking about it before we jumped on the show, but the Oregon Ducks is fine too. We like that jersey.
I might have to just get one more so I can fill all the stalls, but for now we've got Ducks synergy here and I think it's good enough.
Awesome. Well, you're coming off a busy weekend. I saw you were in Philadelphia and you even got caked by Gritty rather. What was the weekend like?
It was a whole lot of fun. I mean, we were in Gritty's Chaos Corner for the game on Saturday, and it lives up to the branding and the hype. I mean, Gritty is insane, and that was a very, very fun atmosphere to watch a game. I did watch my Bruins lose, which was unfortunate. So a little bit of insult to injury that I got caked and had to watch my team almost get shut out. But it was a great time. And honestly, like being victimized by Gritty was genuinely like a lifelong dream. So happy to check that one off the bucket list.
Yeah. What's the relationship like now on that end?
Honestly, just about the same. Like I lose no respect. Honestly, I gained respect for Gritty because of the throw. The throw was immaculate.
It was
put
perfect.
Some absolute heat on it, hit me directly in the face and turned my world straight up into cake for about 5 to 10 minutes.
The video is amazing too. So if for those listening, you can go find it on, I guess you guys' Twitter page, What Chaos is Twitter page. So that's where I saw it. But anyway, so Pete, with your, you know, with the show, you guys have traveled a little bit this year too. Is that something that you like to do just to get to all the different arenas and kind of get that experience?
Yeah, I think it's a big part of what we want to do as a show, because we want to do a show that's about 32 teams. And to do a show that's about 32 teams, you have to have some sort of understanding of what the culture of these 32 fan bases is, what the cities are like. And I think to be able to talk as knowledgeably as you can, you have to have some understanding of the market and the team and what's kind of in the DNA of these teams. And so it's really illuminating every time we do one of these trips where you get to find out what the day-to-day experience and the game day experience is like for each fan base. And so that's a big part for me. It's also like, as a hockey fan, I love just being able to chalk it up to work and have these experiences and travel to all these different cities. So we get a lot out of every trip, even if it's not necessarily content focused. It's just getting the knowledge of this is what the experience is like for fans of this team.
So how many arenas have you guys done so far?
Let's see. We've done Detroit, Columbus. We've done Florida. We've done LA. We've done Philly. We've done New York. I've done New Jersey. So we're getting up towards like 10, a dozen around there. We want to hit everywhere at some point. Don't know how long that's going to take us. Some teams are more cooperative than others when it comes to getting us to their arenas and their cities and being accommodating. But yeah, we're trying to slowly check off all 32.
I did see that DJ made it out to our team store, but that's also a part of it. You guys kind of go into all these different team stores and see all the different gear.
Yeah, we love Pro Shop Wars, which is when we go into the Pro Shop and we try to see which of us can come away with the best haul. And we all have very different tastes in terms of the merchandise and the gear that we like. And just being able to kind of highlight and showcase a lot of the different offerings and some of the weird items that each Pro Shop has. It's such a fun part of these trips and of the arena experience. And I'll tell you what, we came away with a ton of stuff from Philadelphia. I chose not to wear my Flyers gear on a duck show out of respect for the rivalry that exists, the weird rivalry between these two teams. And I will say, in Philly this weekend, Flyers fans hate the Ducks. They hate the Ducks.
They do.
And I was like, it is so strange to me that in the year 2026, the Flyers' biggest rival right now might be the Anaheim Ducks.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of chaos online with that every time I feel like the two teams play. But obviously with the Cutter Gauthier trade, that really fuels most of it. But what's the weirdest thing, or maybe not weirdest, most unique thing that you've found in a team store?
Ooh, most unique thing we found in a team store. Sean, you got any input on that? Sean's over here. I mean, DJ bought two insane gritty hats this weekend. Maybe there's some recency bias there, but he bought two furry gritty hats that basically have Gritty's face on a baseball hat. And that's insane. Yeah. We found like a lot of weird stuff in Columbus, like weird, endearing. Like DJ almost bought a Seth Jones used game glove for like $600 when Seth Jones was playing for the Blackhawks at the time. And it was just like old game used stuff in the Columbus Pro Shop. There was like a lot of, there's a lot of Grateful Dead merch in the Columbus Pro Shop, which was very cool as a Deadhead. So there's some weird items across the board, no matter where you go.
Yeah. It's so interesting because every team obviously has their taste and just seeing what every organization has in all the stores, but kind of going along with talking about how what chaos has grown. I mean, how many seasons has it been now? I was trying to rack my brain back, but you guys have really grown, and in particular, it feels like the last year.
Yeah, this is our second full season. Okay. We did, probably most of a third, but this is our second full season, and it definitely has grown a lot in the past year, and it's exploded a little bit, and we've had just such an incredible community that's kind of flocked to us and been super, super welcoming to a lot of new fans. And it's an awesome place to be because we do a very weird show and a very unique show. And we have a very weird and unique audience that really plays along. And like, there could be a lot more resistance to a lot of the things that we do because it just scratches an itch that we weren't sure anybody else was going to have, but there's like a lot of freedom to do whatever we want to do and have a unique show and cover the things that we really care about, regardless of how silly it is. And yeah, we get into the weeds with hockey a lot, but we kind of just do the show that we're most excited about doing on any given day. And people have a lot of fun with it. And it's been very, very awesome to see it grow and be more welcoming to a whole lot of people.
What's the area, I guess, with the show that you feel like it has surprised you that people are drawn to, I guess, and on that end?
Honestly, I think that there is a lot of tolerance at very least for the amount of jersey talk that we do and a lot of like merchandise talk. And I know that there's a certain subsection of fans that don't give a crap about jerseys. They're like, I don't care what my team looks like. I don't care what the players wear. I'm just here to watch the hockey game. But, and I feel like Anaheim Ducks fans would appreciate this because they had some of the best branding in the league for a long time, and then they went away from it. And then I think they've gotten closer back to it with the Mighty Ducks branding. And I think the Ducks look very cool right now. Like, there is a certain element of what a team looks like and how they brand themselves that attaches itself to the identity of that team. And like, I care about identities of certain teams and how they embrace it. So that's something that we care about a lot. It's something that we talk about a lot. And honestly, like a lot of our listeners either tolerate it or they enjoy it. And that is very encouraging to me.
You guys have a busy week coming up with the trade deadline. You're doing a 24-hour show. Where did that idea start?
I would say that it started during COVID when I was Twitch streaming a lot. And I know that on Twitch, doing 24-hour streams is a really great way to bring awareness to your channel. And it's pretty easy because you're just playing video games a ton. Most people are. Just like these very, very long streams, whether they're subathons or 24-hour streams, great way to get people to invest in your channel. And even if it's just to like watch you struggle through these streams, it's fun. And so when we did our first 24-hour trade deadline stream, we were thinking about ways that we could approach the trade deadline that would be different from other networks that do like their big deadline specials, which are like they're live for 8 hours through the trade deadline. And we were like, how do we make it bigger? How do we make it more ridiculous? How do we embrace the chaos of the trade deadline a little bit more? And we ultimately decided on a 24-hour stream that would bring you from like Thursday at 5 p.m. to Friday at 5 p.m. So by the time the trade deadline actually hits, we're delirious, things are insane, and we're just struggling through it. And honestly, some of the best memories that we've had on the show and some of the best moments that we've had on the show have been during like the off hours of the trade deadline stream, where you're just really trying to fill time and being ridiculous. And it has really helped kind of create these memories and create this bond between us and the audience, a lot of which like sickos stick around for all 24 hours. There are a lot of listeners who stick around for the entirety of the 24 hours. People take off work to stick through the stream, and it's crazy. It's fun. And it's just kind of leans into the silliness of the show that we do.
Do you have anything outrageous planned? I don't want to spoil it, but have you planned ahead for that?
We're keeping the cards pretty close to our chest right now. We've got a lot of special guests lined up that we're very excited about. Last year we did a roar hour, which is we dressed up as dinosaurs and only roared for an hour straight. It was as ridiculous as it sounds. It was so much fun. This was at like 4 a.m.
I was
going to
say 3, 4 a.m. Yeah,
yes. Yeah. Not a lot going on in terms of the trade wins. So we had fun with it. Both years that we've done it, we've done Bop It competitions. So at the top of every hour, we call it the Bop of the Hour. And we'll play Bop It and we'll accumulate our scores. And at the end of the 24 hours, whoever has the highest score wins. That has been a huge hit and been so much fun, and it helps keep us sharp through the 24 hours. So stuff like that, we just get ridiculous and we have some fun.
Very creative as well. Mm-hmm. When you're looking at this year's deadline, we're going to dive into it a little bit more now on the hockey side of things. One, can you give me a team who you think should be a seller and then also a team that should be a buyer?
A team that should be a seller, and I think that the most intriguing seller a few days out, got to be the St. Louis Blues, because the Blues are talking about really kind of hitting the reset button on this thing. And they've got some really valuable pieces that could be wanted across the league. Robert Thomas being first and foremost there. He's a player that basically 31 other teams should want, because he's a 200-foot player, kind of a real tough guy, just a real versatile player that can factor in on the long term, short and long term of an outlook, and Stanley Cup champion. Jordan Kyrou also in that mix, good goal scorer. Colton Parayko has been thrown around as well, like made Team Canada, has been around, just a really solid pillar, a big guy on the back end. And then, you know, there's Justin Falk, there's Jordan Binnington, perhaps, like just a lot of guys that if they're really stripping this thing down to the studs, could be useful pieces to other teams. And then in terms of buyers, like, there's a number of teams that could be very interesting buyers. Like the Buffalo Sabres could be really interesting. They're trying to make a push for the playoffs, trying to get back in, end that drought. Like the New York Islanders with Matthew Schaefer are now trying to push. Colorado, Dallas, Minnesota, all teams that are kind of in a three-headed monster race in the Central. So like this could be a really interesting year, especially when you consider the fact that the free agent class kind of stinks. Like a lot of the guys that were headed towards free agency re-upped early. And now like the window to improve your team or the availability to improve your team on July 1st is pretty limited. So teams may be active on the market.
It's been interesting from our perspective too, at least the last couple of games, there's been a lot of scouts in our press box, and it just tells you how potentially active this week it could end up being. Is there a player that you've got your eye on going into the deadline?
One in particular? I mean, like,
yeah.
I think that the Robert Thomas has got to be the number one name for me, just because he's the biggest difference maker. I think a player like Vinny Trocheck would be a really interesting add for a team that is so close, like maybe a Colorado, a Minnesota would be a really interesting fit for a player like that, because you know, in the right spot, he can just be an awesome third pairing or a third, you know, third line center, mm-hmm. be a great PK guy, just somebody that helps push you over the finish line. And we saw what he could do at the Olympics in terms of being that role player on a very, very good team. And I think he answered a lot of questions for like, why are you bringing this guy on the Olympic team? I thought that he was mm-hmm. really impactful. And so he's very interesting. And I also look at what's Nashville going to do with their big guys. Like, are they going to hold on to them? Steven Stamkos, Ryan O'Reilly, both of those guys could be massive difference makers too, to a team that is looking to contend. So a lot of interesting names that are out there. Mm-hmm. I'm cautiously optimistic that this is going to be a high event deadline, because there's sometimes that you just head in, you talk about guys for a week, and then a bunch of the big names don't really get moved. I'm hoping that we see some action this week.
I'm hoping for your stream as well, that you guys see some action, because it'll make the 24 hours a little bit easier, I'm sure, on your end. You talked about the Olympics. What did you think of hockey in the Olympics? And overall, did you have a favorite event outside of hockey?
Curling and figure skating are always the most interesting to me. But as far as the hockey went, I mean, how spoiled were we for about a week straight where every game seemed to be pretty electric. You know, waking up at 6 a.m. and or I guess 3 a.m. for you guys out on the West Coast. That's a tough fight. Good on you if you're able to do it. But it was just like days straight of just the most electric hockey you've seen on both the men's and women's side. And then to come away with two gold medals at the end of it for the United States, like, couldn't have asked for anything better. And we waited 12 years to see the NHL get back in the mix there. I don't know if I'm willing to say that it was worth the wait, because we don't know what we missed over those 12 years where there was the absence, but it certainly didn't fall short of the hype given the buildup of those 12 years.
It felt like it was a good transition, though, back to the NHL season. I know we were on break for a while, but it seems mm-hmm. like kind of we just jumped right back into it.
Definitely. And honestly, like, it was nice to have the change of pace. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get that every 2 years moving forward with the Olympics and the World Cup. And I think personally that is going to be a very welcome change of pace in the midseason, because, like, let's be honest, the regular season, it's 82 games right now. It's going to be even longer next year. Mm-hmm. You do hit like a drag, and you do hit, you know, a grind where it feels very monotonous. And, you know, I think that there are some certain things that could be changed to help that. I think you need more divisional matchups. I think that you need more rivalries during the regular season prioritized, and not just in the first round and second round of the playoffs. I hope that they address that moving forward, but taking that little break and allowing for a different brand of hockey and sort of like a playoff type intensity. And I know a lot of teams aren't going to love it, because, you know, if you look at a team like the Kings, they lose Kevin Fiala. You've got injuries with a compressed schedule. I get it. But from a fan perspective, it was just really nice to break up the regular season a little bit more and get that excitement injected into the season, and feeling like you got to watch playoff hockey in February was incredible.
That's even what I had the chance to catch up with a couple of the guys after they got back, and Jackson Lacombe was saying, you know, it was like a game seven, just being there and experiencing that. So, and, you know, he hasn't experienced playoffs yet, so we'll see how that compares, I suppose, as we get closer to that. Talking about the Ducks, though, I mean, let's dive into it. You've stayed up to watch some of these games on the West Coast. What's been your perspective of Anaheim this season?
I mean, at the beginning of the year, I was like, this is the most fun team in hockey. It was unbelievable entertainment every single night. And, you know, they came back down to earth in terms of that for a while. Mm-hmm. But I think that the point still stands that this is an incredibly exciting team that, you know, they're dramatic. They're very imperfect. They're a flawed, but like unbelievably entertaining team on most nights. And the bones of what's there right now are just incredibly exciting, because you've got Leo Carlson, you've got Carter Gauthier, Mason McTavish. I've been incredibly impressed by Beckett Seneca this year. And then, like, on the back end, you have Lacombe, Zellweger, like Minchikov. Like, there's a number of reasons to get excited about the future of this team. And it's starting to come together. I think they're probably still a year or two off in terms of Do I believe that they can truly contend for a Stanley Cup? Probably not. But we're talking about a young team that's heading towards a playoff berth. They're going to get that playoff experience and hopefully provide some very entertaining playoff hockey. And if I said it last week, if we get a Ducks Oilers first round playoff series, it might be the most chaotic, insane, can't look away mess of a series that I've ever seen. And that's the number one matchup that I'm hoping for at this point in time heading into the playoffs.
You touched on Beckett Seneca. Do you think there's a case for him to get the Calder?
I don't. Mm. And it's not anything against Beckett Seneca, because I obviously think he's having an incredible, incredible season. Matthew Schaefer in Long Island, or on Long Island, has just completely changed the trajectory and the outlook of a team. And he's doing things as an 18-year-old defenseman that seem like impossible. Like, the way that he's come in from day one and been ready for every aspect of that job on and off the ice, it really is incredible. Yeah. He's an incredible 18-year-old kid that is setting records in his rookie year. And I think that he's probably like the runaway Calder at this point.
How fun. We're going to get to see him this week too. Ducks on a back-to-back on that, but we will get to see that young matchup on Wednesday, I believe it is, this week. So something to keep your eye on, I suppose, too, if you're going to stay up late for that one. But do you think that team should play on trade deadline day?
I don't have strong feelings one way or another. I could definitely see why they wouldn't. And I could definitely see, you know, it would make sense to have a bit of a schedule freeze on that day. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it keeps things interesting when, you know, you get a guy who has to hop on a plane and land and then immediately suit up for a new team. Like, I think that's a fun aspect of deadline day, where it's like, this guy hasn't slept for 16 hours. He's just meeting these guys for the first time, and he's suiting up and in the lineup. Like, that stuff's fun.
I was curious, because the Ducks always seem to have a game, and we certainly do on Friday this week against Montreal. So just wondered about that on that end. But looking at the league overall, is there any team right now, maybe East or West, you can choose, that you're, I guess, keeping an eye on or kind of surprised by, that you're waiting to see if maybe some things turn around, or they, you know, go south? So,
yeah, I think that right now, the number one team that I think of when you say that is Pittsburgh, because nobody expected Pittsburgh to be in the mix this season. And here they are. They're a very surprising team, especially with a first-year head coach and the roster that they have. And, like, Kyle Dubas is seemingly rearranging pieces, like, and maximizing the value of, and, like, sort of soft selling a little bit there. And now Sidney Crosby is hurt at the Olympics, and he's out for at least 4 weeks. So, like, what does this team look like? How much do they believe in their outlook without Crosby for the next month? And how does that change their trade deadline approach? Mm-hmm. Like, that to me is very fascinating. And I have no sense of what they might do. I have no sense of where they think they are as an organization. But what I will say is, through this point in the season, I think that you've got Tampa and you've got Carolina at the top of the Eastern Conference. And then everything from that point down is just up for grabs. It seems so wide open in the Eastern Conference. And so teams may think that they've got a chance to get some playoff revenue, get some playoff experience, and maybe they don't see themselves as true contenders, but maybe they want to, you know, reinforce their push. Maybe they want to reward their guys for keeping them in, you know, the competitive mix this season. So I think that anything could happen in the Eastern Conference, really.
Mm-hmm. You talk about how close it is there, but on the flip side of that, I mean, the West, there's a big gap. Does that surprise you?
I would say the West is an absolute weird case this year. Like, it is so strange because the three best teams are all in the Central, and they're all very tightly packed together with Colorado, Dallas, and Minnesota. And one of those teams is going to be eliminated in the first round just based off of the playoff format, which stinks, especially when you look at the Pacific Division and how much of a mess that's been this season. Like, the Pacific Division is so interesting because on any given night, you can look at a team playing in the Pacific and be like, well, if they win this game, they're in first place. If they lose this game, they're out of the playoff picture. That it's just a, it's a mess. So the West, I have a hard time wrapping my head around, but I truly believe that, like, maybe the three biggest Stanley Cup contenders are in the Central Division with Colorado, Dallas, and Minnesota. And it's going to be an absolute mess trying to get out of that.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing how that all shakes out as the season comes to a close next month and we get ready for the playoffs. But Pete, anything else that you have coming up aside from the trade deadline show that you're looking forward to or any other big plans?
We're trying to do another team trip shortly after the trade deadline. Hopefully that comes to fruition. But, like, honestly, once the trade deadline wraps, everybody's eyes shift towards the playoffs, and that's where we all love to just lock in, and we move to five shows a week, and we just become even more obsessed with hockey for two straight months, and it's the best. So we're heading down the home stretch here. We're locking in, buckling up, and we're ready to go.
Awesome. Well, tell our listeners, too, where they can find What Chaos.
On any podcast platform that you listen to, so Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Again, we have shows Monday through Thursday. We do Friday episodes for Patreon as well, patreon.com/whatchaos. But we are a very visual forward show. We're a video first show. So YouTube is the preferred method to consume the show. We're live every day at noon Eastern. You can watch the show back after the fact, so you don't have to tune in live, but we've got a live chat. It's so much fun. We've got, you know, an insane listenership that contributes to the show in the chat. So that is where I would recommend. You can search What Chaos on YouTube or youtube.com/@whatchaosshow. So yeah, basically anywhere you can find us, whether it's podcast platforms, video platforms, and social media platforms, you can find us there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Pete. Great to catch up with you and so happy for all of your success this year. Looking forward to seeing the trade deadline show this week and good luck with that.
Yeah, thank you. And congrats to you as well. You're killing it over there. So very much appreciate you having me back and lock in for the playoffs because the Ducks are getting there.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.